Hello, what have we here?
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 63. Hope you all enjoyed last week's show, because this week it's all about Chopper, Spectre 3. As always, I'm Mikey B, joined by my co-host, Danya.
Hi everyone.
And we also have Caitlin with us this week. How you doing, Caitlin?
I'm back.
Yay.
Welcome back. Yay. We're excited.
It's been so long.
I know. It's been a while, hasn't it? If you want to get involved in our conversation, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at rradiopodcast. Leave a comment on our Facebook page or send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net, or leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hypeable.com. Today's podcast is also brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free. Now, I will tell you something about Audible, guys. Is I found out, because a friend of mine at work was like, man, I really want to have the Thrawn book on audio, because he just finished reading it, and I was talking, he listened to our episode, and I was talking about how awesome it is, and I'm like, oh, use our free Audible trial just to get a free book on us, like, you know, doesn't cost me anything, you guys get a free book as long as you cancel it before, or you can stay subscribed. And he's like, oh, I've already done it. I'm like, I think you could try it again. So if you had an Audible trial account before, and I think it's been 6 months as the marker, you could do another free book by using our code. So, if you, I know, right? So, I would just try it again. Again, it's audibletrial.com/resistanceradio, and maybe you get a free book. Like, it was kind of cool. So it works, which is awesome. Anyway, we want to support the Resistance. We've also launched our Patreon. Check it out at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. There are some amazing perks up there, and I just posted our first Movie Nights audio. So you can go on there, download that, listen and watch along to Star Wars The Phantom Menace. And sometime this next month, we will be doing episode 2 and our After Dark episodes, which we started to collect some interesting news articles to discuss. Danya, you want to elaborate a little bit on our Patreon? Maybe not the After Dark episodes. Maybe
I was going to say, the After Dark episode stuff that we're curating is... this is probably not the place for
probably not, but it's an interesting episode, right? It'll be very interesting. It is Star Wars related.
Yeah, so, interesting is gonna be a word, definitely. yes, this is
you're such
we'll tell you off the air.
And guess what? That's... Patreons will know what it is, because they get the raw audio of this too. So you guys get all the wonderful stuff. So Patreon, you get some amazing perks like our Discord chat where you can join here. You also get to see the random postings that I have that we've made recently, including my lullaby music that I found for my daughter. So I have Star Wars lullaby music in there. Join us in our recording studio so you can join us live while we're recording our episodes. Join us for movie nights so you can pop the popcorn, get a soda, my favorite, Red Vines, and join us for live Mystery Science Theater 3000 style bad banter while we watch the movies with you. Or you could follow along, download it afterwards, and watch it and listen to us. So definitely Patreon's pretty cool for us, right?
Yeah. I think it's been fun anyway.
Yeah. Also, we have t-shirts and buttons for sale on our website. Just visit resistanceradio.net. But it's time for the news. So first bit of news comes from Hypeable. Thandie Newton. Was recently interviewed, I believe it was. It's been a while since I looked at this because we're recording at an odd time. But yeah, so she was recently sat down with Oprah Winfrey for Variety. And it was interesting because she kind of was talking about the Han Solo solo film. And she really just talked about, to be part of a legacy like Star Wars, it's loved for a reason. I could have been it for a brief little nothing. I would have been thrilled and delighted to be taken seriously as a woman of color at 44. It's to be in a dope ass franchise. Sorry for the language there, people, but that's a direct quote for her. So I think it's kind of awesome. Like, one, she's super excited about it, and I think anyone who's in Star Wars should be super excited. But what do you guys think about just having Thandie Newton to kind of, you know, talk about her time there?
I mean, it's really difficult at this point, particularly because they're so far out from the film. So there's not really much that she can say other than, yes, I'm having fun and it's exciting, or as some other people involved in the Han Solo movie saying that this is the best movie, Star Wars movie ever.
All right, Mr. Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, so well, there's not really a lot that can be said, really. It's nice to hear that she's excited to be in Star Wars, and absolutely, for me, I'm so glad that she's part of the film, because prior to her coming on board, it was just another film that followed the same sort of formula, you know? White men at center, a very beautiful brunette lady following up as a lead, and one other person of color kind of there as well, with Donald Glover, but having another person of color in the film as well, like, that's great for me. So I am also thrilled and delighted to have her be part of Star Wars Han Solo movie, because she's honestly one of the parts that's kind of made me go, okay, I'll see where this is going, because before I was just like, nah, whatever. I mean, I'm still a little bit, nah, whatever, but She's probably, okay. Her and Donald Glover are probably two parts of this film that have got me
Well,
excited.
I've been talking about Donald Glover for this film for a long time, and yes, the fact that they actually cast him made me beyond ecstatic.
Yeah. But, those two, they're the ones that I'm excited about seeing.
Yeah.
But again, it's kind of that little bit of like, yeah, I'm glad you're thrilled and delighted, but also it's kind of like those non-comments. Do you get what I mean? Like, they're making non-comments about the film just so that it's like, hey, just remember that this is happening.
Well,
we don't even know who she is.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have a name.
That's true. We don't have a name. But, you know, to jump around in our news articles, I want to do this one about Donald Glover because, you know, it ties directly into the Han Solo film. On the flip side, Donald Glover does say quite a bit, nothing about the film, but about his experience with it, which I think is pretty cool, just to hear him to talk about it a little bit. So just to give you an idea, so Donald Glover sat down with, let's see, who did he talk to? I have it right here. No, I don't. I don't know. He sat down with somebody and talked about it Deadline. Sorry, he said this probably isn't one of my it's probably one of my favorite experiences ever. For working under like a huge conglomerate, it's actually been quite enjoyable, an artistic thing. I get to play him in a way I think is honest and true and cool, and it's great because I didn't have to write anything. I'm focused strictly on being this guy, and I really respect him and I respect the actor who played him before. Speaking of Lando. So obviously he talks about Billy Dee Williams and, you know, being able to play Lando. Then he also says he learned a lot about this character, so it's actually been really fulfilling and nice to just turn off everything else and focus on being someone. So it's been cool. He even adds, I think even Han isn't as complicated as Lando is. From the first time you meet him, you don't know whether to trust him or not, and you're constantly not knowing whether to trust him. I like that about him. Lando seems to be a lot of people's favorite characters. It's cool. It's a lot of pressure, but it's also very exciting. He is one of my favorite characters, too. And then he talks about how growing up with Star Wars. Like, the fact that he's talking all about this, like, the little bit he gave us that you don't know if Lando's good or bad, and he's just one of those complicated characters, more complicated than Han. Like, I think everyone who knew Lando, who was a fan of Lando, kind of knew that, but, like, there hasn't been a lot of Lando stuff. There's Lando comics, and he's popped up in a couple of the new canon books, but like as an auxiliary character. And I'm just beyond ecstatic for this. Like, I don't know, like, this makes me really excited for the film, just to see him being Lando. Like, that's what makes me excited about the Han Solo film. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I mean, yeah, I love Donald Glover. And for me, there are, well, like I've been saying, there are characters within the Star Wars universe that I feel have less story that have been told about them. There's less that we know, but, and so they're far more interesting for me to hear about or get film about or extra material or anything. And, you know, Lando Calrissian is one of them. So yeah, absolutely. like having Donald Glover playing Lando and Lando being in the film is great. I just wish that some of these characters were more central rather than rather than it being centered on Han Solo, because for me, I'm just like, Han Solo has stopped being, not like completely stopped being interesting for me, but like, I don't need another film that has him central to it, because we've already had three films that had him as part of the central cast. Four, if then you also count The Force Awakens, because he played quite a significant role in that as well. So for me, like, it's characters like this, it's characters like whoever Dan Newton's going to be playing is incredibly interesting to me. You know, that's where the interest is when you start expanding this universe out. Don't want more films centered on the same characters over and over and over again. Han Solo's past doesn't interest me, but Lando's does, because we barely got anything about it at all. So, yeah, I'm very excited. Glad that Donald Glover is playing him as well, but yeah, he's so eloquent as well. Just, and knows his stuff, and he loves Star Wars, so, you know, that's good for me as well, because he has such huge respect for the franchise in general, so, yeah. I also don't disagree with his statement of, like, Han isn't as complicated as Lando is, and that complicated aspect of his character is what makes him incredibly interesting.
Yeah, I agree. Like, the Lando character, but I think Han is more of a universal character that I think franchise around could probably jump on, and I feel like this is just an opportunity to explore some of those other characters like Lando and Dandy's character, and you know, a slew of other characters that we may get more media about after this film. So I'm excited to see it. Still, I know it's still too early to say anything. We haven't seen anything about it. But this does lead me to the next bit of news that I've seen this article pop up a bunch of different places from people, is where's the buzz for The Last Jedi? And I think we've talked about this on the show too, where we're not seeing as much as what we saw for The Force Awakens, and we didn't see as much for Rogue One, but we still saw plenty. We had plenty of news, but we didn't have as much as we did for Force Awakens. And with Last Jedi, we're like, well, it's probably because of Rogue One is kind of, they're trying to come up with this new cadence of kind of not being overloaded. But we really haven't gotten a lot of news, stuff about The Last Jedi to build the buzz. Think about all the trailers that came up for The Force Awakens. You know, we had a trailer with more than a year before it came out. Then we had multiple trailers leading up to it. At this point, I'm just ecstatic that we finally have a Last Jedi trailer. But we're 6 months away, and we haven't heard really much anymore other than a little bit of leaks that I try to avoid on the show, unless it's completely confirmed and released somewhere, because I don't want to spoil the episode or the movie for people. What do you guys think about this lack of buzz, other than like a little bit?
Because
we saw this. Well, we also saw this with like the trailer. Like, the trailer didn't get as many views as even like a horror film that was released the same weekend.
I mean, that's difficult as well, because a lot of people probably would have watched it on the live stream as well. It was released in a really odd way and at a really odd time. So I'm not surprised that the trailer numbers were down overall. But at the same time, I guess it depends what circles you're moving in, because I'm seeing a fair amount of chatter on my like personal Twitter feed about The Last Jedi, but then I follow a lot of journalists. So that's not that surprising. They're talking about it a lot. As far as like official stuff being pushed out by Disney and Lucasfilm trying to like hype up fans for the film, not so much. However, the official date that it's coming out in the UK was released this week, so that's something, which it'll probably start ramping up a little bit.
They are finalizing some things. That they're kind of finalizing some stuff for it, the push for it, hopefully.
Yeah. So yeah, hopefully
it's
that.
It's interesting, though.
Yeah, so hopefully it means now that there's, like, locked in release dates for everything, that they'll start being like, okay, now we've got the official date that we're aiming for to be able to kind of do all of this buzz and lead up in, like, a marketing campaign to it. But again, we're still a fair way out. Also, D23 is coming up soon. So, and that's Disney's big convention. Plus, we got
Disney only.
Yeah, for Disney stuff, for Disney properties only. And it's happening the week before San Diego Comic Con. As far as I'm aware, don't quote me on this because I'm not going to San Diego Comic Con this year, so I haven't kept as close an eye on things as I usually do because I don't need to like prioritize my time to be like, okay, I need to make sure I go see this. But as far as I'm aware, Star Wars and Marvel properties will both be represented at D23, but I think only Marvel are doing panels at San Diego Comic-Con for the movies, but I don't believe that Star Wars are.
Interesting.
So, but that said, if they do go to San Diego Comic-Con, that's two huge events where things are typically revealed and kind of pushed forward that are happening in quick succession. So we should expect in July to see things picked up. Because I think it's like over the end of July 14th is D23 and then the following weekend is San Diego Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie, I kind of prefer not being inundated because it comes to a point where I just stop. Oh, a new trailer came out today. I don't bother watching it. Especially when it's leading, like, really close to the movie because I feel like it's too much. So then, like, and always the way it edits, it changes your perspective of that scene. So then when you go to see the movie, sometimes you're giddy for it and then it just doesn't play out the way you expected. So I just...
Yeah.
In the same way, I want, like, if I would be, like, the happiest person if the movie came out tomorrow. However, I kind of don't want to be inundated with stuff when I, like, essentially being like, oh, you want to see this movie? Here's some information, but you can't see it yet.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. The other thing I feel like is that The Last Jedi has so many questions hovering over it in respect to everything set up in The Force Awakens and how The Force Awakens ended, and even a little bit based off the first trailer that came out, that the more they show, the more they're showing that hand. And I feel like with The Last Jedi specifically, they're wanting to keep that under wraps a little bit more. So I wouldn't actually be that surprised if we saw less TV spots and mini trailers as we get closer to the movie. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if we see a slightly different marketing campaign film than we did with The Force Awakens.
That's what this article goes on to say, is that it could be, we've been bombarded with Star Wars franchise stuff since 2014, when they started talking about The Force Awakens. Then right after that was, you know, after the Blu-ray came out, then we had the second Blu-ray, and then we had Rogue One stuff, and it was just bombarding nonstop. So they're kind of downplaying it, and I wonder if Disney is trying to move to a more organically way to get, you know, the buzz for it so people don't get burnt out with it. Because that's one of their criticisms of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It basically, you know, people got burned out with all of the, you know, the movies for a while. You know, not that the films didn't perform well, but like all the information coming out with it, it was a little too much, which is why they've rolled it back to what, just two films a year now is what they're typically doing for Marvel. So it's one of those things where it's not that, you know, Disney has a plan, I'm sure, but it definitely is something where there's a little bit lack of kind of, I don't know if buzz is the right word, but it's definitely a word to use for it, if you will. But yeah, there's definitely not as much stuff going on with Last Jedi as there was for Rogue One or even Force Awakens. But I think Rogue One was a special case because it was the first standalone film and they had to kind of make sure it was done correctly. And even then, I think we all talked about how we feel like there wasn't enough for it. until the lead up right up to it. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on, Rancho Obi-Wan, which is the Star Wars Museum put together by Steve Sansweet, who used to run, he used to run fan relations for Lucasfilm? He used to work for Lucasfilm somewhere in some capacity. But he is the renowned, like, world's biggest collector of Star Wars memorabilia. And he has Rancho Obi-Wan, which is essentially a house dedicated to Star Wars memorabilia. And he has had over $200,000 worth of Star Wars merchandise stolen from his home.
No.
Yeah, he opens this up as... Yeah, between 2015 and 2016 is when things started to go missing. They found out who did it, but he has since sold stuff. So Peter Mayhew's, Mark Hamill, all these people have started to go to Twitter and make it known. It's even on StarWars.com officially, because Sansweet, you know, like I said, he used to run, you know, he used to write an article in Star Wars Insider. Like, if you don't know who Steve Sansweet is, you just do a quick Google search, but he has a warehouse, he has a home called Rancho Obi-Wan, which is a house dedicated to Star Wars memorabilia. Like, he's got a separate home for the Star Wars memorabilia, and it becomes like a Star Wars, you know, museum, and you can take visits there. It's up in Northern California. It's free. I've been there once when I was younger. Not that much younger, but it's kind of amazing. And close friend who had visited multiple times, you know, who's a Star Wars fan, who he thought was someone was considered a friend, Carl Cunningham, would take some items between his visits, and of course sold the items on Star Wars forums and eBay and stuff like that. So he's missing some very rare C-3PO's, Han Solo's, Jawa. There's a list of the things that are missing. And some of these are older items. So if you come across something being sold somewhere, like a Kenner 47 back Luke Skywalker Bespin with brown hair, reach out to Steve on Twitter or any of the people who know what's going on. Because it's definitely... really sad.
I'm just looking at the list.
Like, wow.
I'm looking at the list, and this is awful. Because obviously, like, this past week or so, my, like, finger hasn't really been on the pulse of Star Wars news and things that have been going on, because we've had another general election. Yay! So my mind has unfortunately been on politics. Yay! That's a sarcastic yay. I'm over having general elections, guys. Like, can we stop? I really don't want another one in quick succession after this. It's exhausting. My mental state probably can't take it. But so I missed this completely, that this was a thing that had happened, and it's devastating because that guy is incredible. Like, if you see any pictures of, like, his collection, it's unbelievable. Yeah, like, it's so...
I remember reading in a Star Wars Insider his most valuable item. The thing is, he actually has the Darth Vader costume that was worn in Empire Strikes Back. Like, he actually owns the actual costume that was worn in the film. Like, that's his most valuable item. It's like, he has so much. And that's what it is. He actually was a columnist for Star Wars Magazine and blog on the official site for a long time till he retired and just runs this museum now. Steve is such a nice guy, and I can't believe someone would do this. Makes me sad.
Yeah, it's awful. I just hate it. Absolutely. Hate it.
And then it's one thing for it to be stolen, but for it to be your best friend of 20 years.
Yeah, I don't think he was best friends, but I know he would consider him still a friend. Like, someone he's known for 20 years. Like, here's the thing is, you guys have to remember, before the internet, which I grew up with the internet, but before the internet, Star Wars was around before that time. And how did you make friends with people who had like interests? You became pen pals and you did things together. Like, you know, I will tell you, I haven't done a family reunion in absolute years. Why? Because of Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and being able to FaceTime people, like, it's not, the world's a smaller place now, but, you know, back then with these fans, like, people that you know for 20 years, like, the way you met up was going to conventions and being places, and Steve was at, like, Celebration 1, 2, and 3, because he was part of StarWars.com at the time, like, you know, that's where you met people and, like, built relationships, and then just, I just can't imagine someone who I invite to my home stealing stuff. Like, now I get it. He has a lot of things, so it's hard to, like, spot it when it happened, but it's $200,000 worth of merchandise. It's just absolutely horrendous. Anyway, let's move on to a little bit happier news. This year marked, obviously, the 40th anniversary of A New Hope. We talked about it. I think this is the fourth episode that I've brought it up because it's kind of cool. But this is also the 20-year anniversary of the 501st Legion with founder Alban Johnson. We've had numerous 501st members here on the show, and we've even done a live podcast with the 501st at one point in time last year at Indie PopCon. But this is 20 years of the costume group, which I think is just absolutely awesome. And for a group that does such good, you know, bad guys doing good, I have massive respect for them. I've been around as a group for this long. What do you guys think about this?
Cool.
Just cool. All right.
Sorry,
yeah.
Wait for Danya, because I usually Danya goes first. So
I kind of thought that we'd change things up a little bit, let you speak.
And I'm always stunned when you do that to me.
I'm gonna leave the awkward silence in there just for you two. So yeah. Aww. Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing: is like to give you an idea, Johnson started this back in '97. Via his website. So, you know, when we talked about Steve Sansweet doing, you know, this thing, you know, someone he's known for 20 years, you know, back, you know, my mom was a Star Wars fan. And she's like, I didn't know any girls who were Star Wars fans when I was growing up. Like, you know, it was one of those things where she didn't have anyone to connect to at the time. Now, like, I grew up, like, I had a Star Wars AOL screen name when I was, like, 8 years old, and I was able to talk in chat rooms, which nowadays is apparently really dangerous. But, you know, back then, the internet was open to anybody. But yeah, like, it's one of those things where he started this on a website in early 97, which, again, think about, like, 97, internet was still a baby, you know? It wasn't, like, huge everywhere. Like, I remember going to B. Dalton's website in 97, because they were the publisher of the Star Wars books. It was BD.com. It was the weirdest thing. Really horrible text website. But yeah, he started his own website in 97, and he couldn't imagine the idea of getting people to dress up as stormtroopers for fun to expand it, but sure enough, more and more people wanted to, and it kind of grew into what it is today, where, as a charity group, you know, they're at a point where they do regular conventions and regular appearances different places for different things, from sports events to kind of get people excited to, recently, they just, I think we talked about on the show, where they went to meet with a kid who just finished his last round of chemo, who survived cancer, and it was just really heartwarming to know that these people bring Star Wars alive and in person to people around the world, and I love the 501st for that.
That, I'm not sure that you can say more than that, really. It's just so nice. It's like this whole, I was reading this while you were like chatting and just going, this is incredible. It is such a beautiful celebration of everything that it stands for and what they are and what they do and how it started. It's just a really nicely put together article. So mm-hmm. great.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, it's really cool just to have you know, the 501st be recognized officially by Star Wars, and they've done it for, like I said, 20 years now. But, you know, it's really cool because, like, you know, the 501st has become, you know, canon in their own right. Like, the 501st is the group that was Vader's, you know, fighting fist. Like, that is Vader's Fist Legion, and they've become canon. They were canonized, I think, in episode 3, they were the group that went with the 501st was the clone troopers that went with Anakin, and they just kind of have become canon because of what they do, and Lucasfilm works with them. So I think it's awesome that fans have been able to impact actual film the way they have with that. But I think it's time for our spotlight topic.
Yeah.
For droid, C1-10P, a.k.a. Chopper. So, as we learned last week, Chopper is named because his destination is C1-10P. And it took me a while. I think my epiphany happened where we were discussing it. I'm like, oh, the ones with the dash in between it make an H, like C-H-O-P, like chop. And then Danya's laughing, and Danya made fun of me. So, Chopper gets his name because of his call sign. But let's take a look at Chopper's early life. So, Chopper was a young astromech. I don't know if he was really young, but he was an astromech for the Republic Navy and part of the Ryloth campaign. This is all we know about him. And his Y-Wing starfighter was shot down, and this is what led him to being found by a young Hera Syndulla. Chopper follows Hera off-world to join the rebellion with her. So, we know very little about Chopper's early life, except we learn in one of the first episodes with Thrawn that when he is and the Imperials have kind of taken control of the Hera's homeworld completely and her specific city, and her, what was it, Kalakori was with Thrawn or with the Empire. Chop sees the ship that he was originally shut down in. And for a droid like R2 or BB-8, Chopper has a significant amount of emotion and is still connected to that ship, so it did stop him a little bit. What you guys think about when we learn a little bit about Chopper's past, and you saw him respond to that downed Y-wing, on Ryloth? Do you guys remember that at all?
I don't think I've made it that far.
That's season 3. Sorry.
Yeah.
Aww, spoilers.
Say, Caitlin, you need to finish catching up. But
hey,
no.
I finally have access to it, so hopefully, depending how the week goes, maybe next episode, fingers crossed.
You'll be all caught up. That's awesome. You've done like that. That's quick. Like, you guys have no idea how quickly she's managed to like blitz through everything. She did Clone Wars first, now she's gone on Rebels, and like the amount of, like, I don't even, it's crazy because I'm not sure how you're able to differentiate between like when everything happens.
I'm not sure I can either, to be honest.
Isn't that the great thing about Star Wars, is it all blends together and it's all history, so it all just works. You don't have to know, like, did this happen? No, that was in the Clone Wars. Like, you can talk about it like if it's actual history. Like, this is why I love this franchise, because it's so well done and there's so much depth to all of it.
Well, and when we, like, because we do the spotlight topics based off a character, so you can pull from any of that history. It doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So, we'll just kind of talk, I'll talk a little bit about this. So, Chopper is definitely he is not a C-3PO character. You know, he has his own his own personality. So much, though, that he may be characterized as grumpy, stubborn, lazy, belligerent, rude, careless, mischievous, definitely loyal. I might even say he's jerky. I sat down and kind of came up with a bunch of things that I thought, you know, would describe Chopper, if you will. I think most people would agree with me. Danya, Caitlin, you guys agree that murderous, yeah. So we actually, you know, Brack here is hanging out in the recording studio, and she said, Chopper's a little murderous. When he was taken over, I would agree with you on that. But you guys agree with me? Those are kind of like Chopper's kind of...
I'd call him a cat trait? 2-year-old.
I think he's more like, he's like that loyal dog. But, like, you don't want him to sit on the couch, but he's going to sit on the couch no matter what.
He's too sassy for a dog, though. Like, and I don't mean, like, R2-D2 is sassy, but Chopper is a little bit more, like, he gets off on bugging people.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I was going to say, Chopper, Chopper feels more cat-like.
Thanks, Brad.
Yeah, because it feels significant, like, a little bit more like if there was something, like, kind of on the table, for example, and Chopper was there, be like, I'm just gonna knock this off the table. Like, that's the kind of attitude. Just like, Chopper would look you, like, dead in the eyes as, like, knocked it off the table.
like, he would stare at you, and slowly his arm would come out, and, like, the cup kind of moves a little bit, and you're like, don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
And then, pop!
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, so unlike R2, who definitely has his own personality, you know, you have this idea that R2 has never been, you know, never had his memory wiped. And you know, C-3PO has his memory wiped multiple times. But Chopper definitely has his own personality. And I think it's fitting that he has the call sign Spectre 3. Because he is as much part of the team. Like, you know, we talked one episode about droids, like how they're treated differently by the Empire versus Rebellion. You know, in the Rebellion, at least those people, they treat them like people. Like, the droids are actually part of it. Like, think about it. Luke would be lost without R2, and he went chasing after him early on, and you know, everything like that. And you know, Leia has C-3PO all the time. You know, you got to remember he has a red arm now, so you can recognize him. But it's one of those things where they're treated differently, and Chopper definitely is part of this family that's on the Ghost. But that leads kind of to what he does as part of that crew. Chopper maintains the Ghost so much so that the ship has been so modified, only he can actually talk to the computer. Which I think is kind of interesting, because if he's the only one that can talk to the computer, what happens if Chopper ever gets damaged? Are they going to have problems fixing the Ghost?
I mean, I would probably say that things would be difficult for them, but I also wouldn't say that there is no one else on the Ghost that wouldn't have the ability to be able to fix it. Do I think they would do it as quickly or as efficiently as Chopper? No, not at all. Chopper knows the workings of that ship inside and out, but, yeah, I would say that it would be significantly more difficult for other people to be able to fix and maintain the ship, but it would take a longer amount of time, which would tie up other members of the crew and so on. So, you know, I don't think they'd be, like, floating out in space stranded, but I feel like it would be more difficult for them to perform maintenance and fix anything. Because it would be, like, completely short-sighted should, like, no one else be able to do anything with the ship at all.
Yeah, I have more faith in Hera's capability.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I agree. Yeah, but the thing about Chopper, though, is he definitely has his own personality, even if it's not with the ship. Like, think about, and I know you'll know this one, when he was lost in a bet to Lando Calrissian.
Mm-hmm.
And Lando technically owned Chopper. Like, think about what he did, like, because of what happened. And I think, you know, Chopper knew Lando was like, you can go back, but I'm going to have you guys do this little job, you know, in the typical Lando fashion. Like, Chopper totally was like, I don't work for you guys anymore. I'm Lando. It's like totally just like made Zeb and Ezra kind of pay for them doing what they did and losing them.
That's why but just catch.
Yeah, and why he's important and everything. So I think it was, it's kind of fun to see, like, you see his personality come out in a lot of different ways. Go, Caitlin.
My favorite part, this is going off of what you were talking about, but my favorite part is, I can't remember what episode it was, what season, but when they land, I think it was some sort of port or planet, and he's having problems with his legs, and they keep putting it off.
Yes!
To do their own thing, and he sees his leg, and he's supposed to stay with the ship, and then he's finally like, screw this, and takes off, and then just trying to get the leg, but he doesn't have the money to buy it, and then just like, runs off with it.
Yeah, like, that's the thing, is like, he is told, like, maybe you're right, maybe he's like a toddler, or like a young child, in the sense of like, Chopper, stay over here with the ship, but he's like, but I want to go over there. He's like, no, we don't have time for that today. And he goes and he talks to the Ugnaught about getting the leg, and of course he doesn't have money for it, so he steals the leg. You know, and this actually is a really good one, because this leads to kind of the next, probably the most important thing Chopper has done, other than be the only person from Star Wars Rebels to actually show up live inside of a Star Wars feature film, because he was in Rogue One. But, you know, it's one of those things where, with that specific episode, he's stranded from the crew of the Ghost, and it leads him to being aboard another ship, trying to get back. It's an Imperial ship, and that's where he makes friends with a very important person named AP-5, who, I will say, Season 3, AP-5 and Chopper are like my favorite comic duo. They are definitely a C-3PO and an R2-D2. Like, would you agree on that, Danya?
Yeah, I guess.
Come on, they're different personalities than C-3PO and R2-D2.
Yeah,
but I would say like they play off each other really, really well.
Yeah, like the spunky one versus the rule.
Yeah, it's like, yes, I agree. Like the distinct personalities are different, but the general kind of relationship, I guess, that isn't like it's riffing off the same kind of theme, but like within that there's nuances.
Yeah, no, there's definitely nuance between them, and they're not the same by any means, but it is definitely they work together the same way you would have AP-5 and, you know, or C-3PO and R2-D2 a little bit. So I'm thoroughly happy with, you know, the way AP-5 was introduced, including when we talk about, you know, him stealing the leg. AP-5 is damaged, and he's healed by using the parts from the leg Chopper stole. So Chopper never gets his leg back, which I think, you know, the fact that even though we talk to him about being stubborn, lazy, grumpy, belligerent, rude, careless, he's definitely loyal, you know, and he's caring enough in that sense.
Well, and I'm sorry, I keep going back to the toddler thing, but same with, like, when a kid, like, throws tantrums or, like, swipes the cup off the high chair and stuff like that, but then sees, like, another kid crying and then gives them the sucker or gives them the doll.
Like, yeah, he wants to make things better. And, you know, obviously this is an extreme level of that where, you know, you lost someone is dead. But I think AP-5 was, you know, surprised that someone cared about him, because he was used to what the Republic had done and then what the Empire had done. And he is just he's just a robot. He's treated very differently. And the fact that Chopper's like, oh, no. My friends aren't like that, even though he's kind of stranded. And then, you know, the whole point is like, well, you're stranded here. How do you know your friends aren't like that? But the nice part is he's able to befriend AP-5, and AP-5 and Chopper are able to go ahead and help not only Phoenix Squadron, not even only the crew of the Ghost, but all of Phoenix Squadron avoid a trap and find a new planet for them to use as a base, known as Chopper Base. They go to Atalon. Basically, what happens is they are they're going to go to one base, and of course the Empire had figured it out, and in the last moment Chopper gives them hyperspace coordinates, and they were being stopped by the Interdictor cruiser. So if it wasn't for Chopper and AP-5, they would have been, you know, the rebellion would have been crushed a little bit earlier on. So really, Chopper is the hero of the rebellion. I think they should do a Chopper movie.
I mean, I genuinely love seeing Chopper kind of focused on a lot more. I love episodes, particularly when they really, really focus on him. I love, like, still one of my favorite Season 3 episodes is when they kind of like all go off, and like I especially love when you see Chopper teamed up with like different members on the crew as well, just like But the droid-specific episodes are the ones that, like, I'm always, like, incredibly delighted by them. So...
Yes, same within Clone Wars. I thoroughly like the R2-D2, C-3PO heavy episodes.
Yeah, so see, you would be okay with the Chopper movie.
I mean, I think it would be very, like, I think like an extended episode or like a mini...
Like a TV spot.
Yeah, like a TV spot or like a mini movie thing would be great. A whole movie focused on just Chopper would be difficult to frame, I think. But I would love like a series of mini movies or like a mini series just focused specifically on him would be great. I'd love that. Like in the similar way that they do they did like the droids series, and they've done like some of the little Lego shorts, and they've done some other things. Like, I think that would work really well. I'd love to see like a mini series focused around Chopper.
Yeah, I'll agree. Like a mini series, like a Netflix series, and Chopper's in it. That would be awesome. But this also brings up something about Chopper too. Chopper obviously saves the day, but Chopper also goes undercover a lot. So, as an undercover droid, he gets a fresh paint job instead of the wonderful orange and silver that we know of Chopper. He gets this black and red Imperial paint job. And it's not just like done once. It's done multiple times to the point where, you know, eventually at the end, season 3, sorry, Caitlin, we're going to try to avoid a little bit of spoilers. You know, there's a lookout for specific droids that are meant to be known that, you know, Thrawn has put out there. But Chopper is able to pass off as being an Imperial droid so easily just by putting a little paint job on. Like, what do you guys think about that? Is it like, it's not like someone getting a haircut is like, did you get a haircut? Something different about you? It's like, oh, it's a completely different droid. Like, they don't recognize that. Like, what do you guys think about that?
I want to let Caitlin take this.
Says the one who hasn't watched season 3.
Well, you don't have to have seen season 3. Like, you've seen him get painted up
before.
Yeah,
he's been painted over in previous seasons to go undercover and stuff.
Yeah, I feel like his personality is strong enough that he's capable of doing that. But I also find it funny when they put him back into his normal colors. Like, it, Sabine, like, I feel like Sabine would love to paint him different colors, but he doesn't, he goes back to his original.
Yeah, like, I find it funny, like, my I put it here, is painting Chopper like getting a haircut, in the sense that even after he goes back to his original color, like, I wonder how often he has to paint that orange to stay orange on the top, you know what I mean? Like, think of it as like orange hair, or dyed hair, or something like that. Because we see Chopper, you know, the cool part about Star Wars is it's a lived-in universe. Unlike futuristic things, it's not super shiny, unless you live on Naboo. But, like, everything is, like, lived in, and there's a little bit of grime and dirt and, you know, like, dings on Chopper and stuff. So even with his orange top, like, Chopper has some, like, scoring, and he's not super shiny as a droid. Like, he's mismatched, two different legs, stuff like that. What do you guys think about this? Like, how, considering they have to paint, or is that just like a continuity thing that, you know, I'm pointing out now? No? Haircuts? Paints? Paint jobs?
Yeah, I mean...
Oil bath. We know they do oil baths.
Yeah.
Thank the maker, said C-3PO. So they do baths as droid.
I mean, I wouldn't...
Maybe not bathe all the time.
I guess I wouldn't necessarily call it getting a haircut. I don't know. I would probably say it's more like changing an outfit. It's like the way that anyone else would go undercover. Like, it would be like someone putting on a TIE fighter uniform or uniform of the Empire. You know, it doesn't necessarily change them fundamentally. It just gives them the opportunity to infiltrate places in order to gain access and intelligence. So, no, I wouldn't equate changing chopper to getting a haircut. I would probably say it's more akin to changing an outfit.
Or even getting, like, dyeing your hair for, like, one, like, a temporary...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take that, you know. Dyeing a hair.
Because, like, in, like, there's a big difference between doing a quick going in and getting the job done undercover, like, changing whatever you need to and then getting out versus long-term. Like, for example, like, I mean, he did when he went undercover and he met, I forget the name of the droid, but they ended up becoming friends in that short period of time that he was there. But then, like,
I agree. That's what it is.
Like, Ezra's gone undercover, and then there was that longer time where he went to the academy and he made friends, and then he started feeling guilty, not like living that double life and making friends, but it kind of being a lie of who he was. So there's a big difference between going in and out and then long term.
Yeah. You're right. It's not it's not something that they do, you know, that he's going undercover for like a month to steal the Death Star plans. He's going in to do something quick within a half an hour episode and gets back out. We see Chopper have his two arms, which is what he uses to kind of get around and do things, to repair stuff, interact. Do you think there's anything hidden inside of Chopper? Like, we saw RTD2 have the rockets and stuff like that, you know, in the prequels that we never saw in the original trilogy. We saw BB-8 have those little things that shoot out to hold him onto the Falcon when he was flying around because he's a big circle. Do you think there's anything hidden inside Chopper that we might see in season 4 or something like that?
Oh, I just had a thought.
Yeah? Go for it.
Yeah, what?
So, again, keeping in mind that I haven't seen season 3, but there, like, I am aware that there's the theory that, like, Ezra and Kanan are gonna die. Wouldn't it be sad if Chopper, if he did have a secret compartment, kept, like, a memory of them in there, like a digitized memory of them?
Like a photo album, like what Ezra has of his parents?
Yeah.
I really want Chopper to have their lightsabers.
Aww.
Because then he'll be like, you know, a Jedi droid. We've had one before. Not canon, but I don't know. Chopper has a, you know, rocket engine at the bottom of him. So he's able to fly just like R2 is able to. He's got arms, which is something R2 doesn't really use very much, except for like the kind of middle one that Chopper also has. You know, Chopper has his own personality, which is great, but there's something hidden in Chopper. I know, like, he's going to surprise us one day, because like you said it, Donnie, like, I really enjoy the episodes that focus on Chopper, and I don't think Dave Filoni is done with Chopper for us yet. Like, I think there's still a surprise there. And the fact that Chopper's the only one that made the leap to actual film, obviously it's because it's not a person, he's an actual droid. But I think it's kind of cool that, you know, Chopper made this leap to the big screen. And I'd be okay with him doing it, you know, again in another capacity, whether it be like a Netflix series or something else. Agree?
Or just see him in the background floating in the Han Solo movie.
Yeah. Well, Chopper's been around since then. Like, maybe they go to Ryloth to run spice and you see Chopper and this little Twi'lek girl. You know, that'd be cool. Anyway. Anything else about Chopper, guys? Chopper's one of those characters that he's really important in Rebels, but he doesn't really show up anywhere else except in that one scene in Rogue One.
Not yet.
Not yet, you're right. Yeah. Chopper hasn't shown up here. C110P, where are you? Chopper. I understand that it's called Chopper. Anything else, guys? No? Yes?
Yeah, I'm
No?
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
You're pretty good? Pretty you sleepy good. At all, Danya?
It's almost 3 a.m., so yes.
I can keep the show going on, but I'm afraid you're going to fall asleep, like yesterday. Anyway.
Yeah, so you keep bragging on me for that. I wasn't sleeping, as in I was tired. It was, I had a migraine.
I get it. Anyway,
just so people know, I didn't miss out on recording because I was sleepy.
Oh, Danya had to put her head down on the pillow. Anyway, thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/ResistanceRadioPodcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/ResistanceRadioPodcast. As always, I'm Mikey B.
I'm Danya.
And I'm Caitlin.
I thought you were going to say sleepy, Danya.
No.
Anyway, may the force be with you.
And also with you.
Sorry, Danya.
Yeah, I was going to say, come on, you're lucky that I like you, otherwise the force wouldn't be with you.
Oh...
The force isn't also with you, okay? I'm going to bed now. Yeah.